This is Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. Today on Jay Sekulow Live, two women are dead, 334,000 abortions at a Planned Parenthood last year, and yet the administration wants more.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Hold on.
In 1975, I had an abortion. I was so far from leading a moral life at that time, I didn't really seem to have any effects from it. But over the years, as feelings of guilt and shame grew, I ended up having another one a couple of years later.
Just know you're not alone.
I think that if I hadn't had the first one, certainly wouldn't have had the second one. And I saw these people with their children and thought, that could be me.
Settle down, it'll all be clear.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now.
Don't pay no mind to the demons, they fill you with fear.
Call 1-800-684-3110.
Trouble in my track.
Your story is not unusual. We've heard that from a lot of women that have called on the broadcast over the years, and no one talks about the emotional toll that these abortions take.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, you know, there's grace and forgiveness for Lynn, but
sure.
The toll on a woman is extremely heavy. You talk about the number 334,000, Jordan, and I want to make sure we don't gloss over that. That is 334,000 lives. Each one has a story like Lynn's, and each one has ramifications. And unfortunately, just like Lynn described, so often there's another one down the line. It's because people like Planned Parenthood don't follow up and they don't provide that aftercare that is necessary when a woman has gone through this.
And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey everyone, welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. We want to hear from you. We are talking about the issue of life today, and you heard it in the open there, folks. We are facing an unprecedented assault on life. We've really never experienced this sort of level of assault on the abortion issue, in my opinion, in American history. And you think about how many of these things we've faced over the last 4 years of this administration, so many of them coming through Obamacare. You talk about the mandated abortion coverage and funding that was in the bill. You talk about the abortion surcharge. And now, of course, we are engaging in the courts on this all-out assault, really, to force religious entities and business to participate in this practice, to participate in the dispensing of abortion pills and other products that violate their conscience. So the lengths to which this administration has been willing to go, it's really astounding. It requires that we all fight back, and you heard it in the open there, the impact on women. This is something that we're going to focus on for the rest of the broadcast coming up after the break. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear about the impact that abortion has had maybe in your life. We want to hear about your stories involving the blessings of adoption. I've got David French, Senior Counsel with the American Center for Law and Justice, on the line with me. He's got some stories along those lines. But we want to hear about what you are doing to promote a culture of life in this country, to fight back against this administration that really is committed on this issue. So if you have a story, if you want to be a part of the broadcast, we want you to call now, 1-800-684-3110. Again, 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to bring David French in after the break here, running just a bit short on time. But we're going to talk about all these efforts today on the broadcast. We're going to talk about how you can engage with us in this fight, especially this latest effort, this fight against the HHS mandate to force religious entities and businesses to participate in dispensing abortion pills. We are going to be filing a brief at the 10th Circuit Court next week opposing this mandate. It's going to be our 15th brief. Actually, it's going to be our 16th brief in this case. We're also directly litigating five of these cases. But you can add your name to this brief filing that we're filing next week. Call now, 877-989-2255. And as always, you can also add your name online at aclj.org. But folks, all of us have a role to play in this. All of our stories can help turn this culture of death around. Call now. Add your name to this brief. 877-989-2255. Of course, go online as well at aclj.org. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, 1-800-684-3110. But step up now. Engage with us on this fight. The number to do so, 877-989-2255. Back with your calls in just a moment.
Oh,
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed 5 lawsuits directly challenging this flawed HHS mandate, and the ACLJ already has filed 15 amicus briefs backing other legal challenges. Another amicus brief is about to be filed in just a matter of days. Now you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. It's Than Bennett in D.C., and I'm David French, Senior Counsel at ACLJ, filling in for Jay today. We are talking about life, and as Than set it up in the previous segment, we are confronting an administration that has launched an unprecedented attack on the right to life. I can remember not that long ago when the message of the Democratic Party was that life, that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. Well, now the message is apparently that we have to help pay for abortions and against our will must help pay for abortions, not only by funding Planned Parenthood to the tune of several hundred million dollars a year, funding so precious to this administration that about a year ago he's threatening to shut down the entire federal government rather than give up that funding. And now through this HHS abortion pill mandate requiring that private companies, nonprofit companies, everyone pay for access to abortion pills. It's not safe, legal, and rare. It seems to be the idea is as often as possible. Than, it's really staggering the legal challenge and the change in the legal landscape that this administration is trying to force upon us.
It really is shocking, and it really transcends a bunch of different areas. David, you know, you talk about the $542 million that taxpayers are forced to pay to Planned Parenthood every year. You know, that money flows to abortion. It flows to political activity. And then, you know, those political dollars flow back to leftist politicians who, in turn, again, fund Planned Parenthood. So it's a vicious cycle. You know, it's something that we are constantly fighting against, this latest effort to push back on the HHS mandate to at least preserve the right for religious entities to not have to participate in this process. But, David, you're right. This has been an uphill battle. It's been one that we've been waging for this entire administration. It only seems to be getting worse. But we do want you all to chime in. How do you feel about this latest effort? What are your stories? What are you doing to push back where you can in your community to change hearts and minds on this? We would open up our phone lines now at 800-684-3110. I'm going to start with Phil calling in from New Mexico on line 3. Phil, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well. You're on the air.
Okay. Hi, I just was just commenting, I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple of days before, you actually played a couple of sound bites from President Obama's speech. He was talking about, you know, he was so, you know, so family oriented, and he had talked about his two daughters, and he was going to teach them, you know, right morals and things like that. But he made the statement that if they did mess up, and did get pregnant, he didn't want him to be punished by a baby.
Yep. You said it just right, Phil, and I'll come back to you in just a minute, but just so everyone knows what you're talking about, let's go ahead and play that audio for everyone to hear. This is Byte 12, President Obama.
I've got two daughters, 9 years old and 6 years old. I'm going to teach them, first of all, about values and morals, but if they make a mistake, I don't want them punished with a baby.
That's the audio you're talking about, right, Phil?
Right, that's it. And I'm thinking, you know, does this man realize what he just said? That he said that he would rather go and kill his grandbabies. I mean, he's saying, I'm going to go and ask them to go and kill my grandbabies.
Phil, it's very tough audio to hear. And I do think it's important, it's instructive for us to hear where our president's coming on from on this. It's how he views an unexpected pregnancy. And, David, you know, you're a father, I'm a father. You know, Joe, actually, on our production team, he found out today that he and his wife are having a baby girl. So that's exciting news on our end. But, you know, David, when I tuck my three babies in at night, the most important things in the world to me, I think about this, and sometimes this audio that Phil's talking about comes to my mind. And, you know, raising those three babies, David, it's not easy, it's not convenient, it's expensive, and it's hard, but it is so far from a punishment. It's almost unthinkable to me that our president could say this. You know, it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. It's my main purpose in life. I hope the president feels that way about his girls. But, David, to utter the words punished with a baby, as a father, that's almost impossible for me to grasp.
Oh, yeah. It's astonishing, and it's revealing. I mean, and you can tell that this wasn't just a mistake that he made. He didn't just misspeak, because his policies, the policies that have been relentlessly advanced from this administration, again and again circle back to abortion as an absolute priority for this administration. I mean, I've heard it said that people say, well, I'm not pro-abortion, I'm pro-choice. Well, I'm sorry. If you're saying about something that not only are we going to say you have a right to choose to have this procedure, but we're going to force other people to pay for it for you, that's not just pro-choice. That's actually pro-abortion. And, you know, one of the things, though, that's encouraging is the overwhelming response of the pro-life community. On our own brief here, we've already had about 115, almost 120,000 people who have agreed to sign on to be part of our committee at ACLJ.org, a part of our committee opposing the abortion pill mandate. That's a lot of people who are standing up and saying, I want to directly participate in the fight for life. I don't want to just stand on the sidelines. I want to directly participate in this legal fight. So, and this is the first generation that by many polling measures is more pro-life than the one that preceded it. So in spite of the fact that this administration is so relentless, he uses the bully pulpit to advance abortion so much, they really are losing the battle of ideas, and they're losing the battle of ideas for a very good reason, because it is so self-evidently, morally obvious that a child should not be killed in the womb, that when people think about it, when they grasp it, when they struggle with it, and when they understand that they're dealing with a child and not just a clump of cells, the issue begins to resolve itself.
Yeah, when women have access to information, David, they overwhelmingly choose life. We're going to get to folks' calls, 800-684-3110. But listen, before we do, David's talking about terminology, and you know, we talk a lot about choice when we discuss these issues. I want to play for you some very telling sound here. This is from Congressman Stephen Lynch. The pro-abortion community tries to have this both ways, say that they're not pro-abortion, that they actually prefer life, that they're just pro-choice. But it's very telling how they explain this. Let's go ahead and play Byte 15, Congressman Stephen Lynch from Massachusetts.
I have also supported, funding for Planned Parenthood, because they do some of the best work in reducing unwanted pregnancies and therefore also, you know, reduce abortions. And I consider myself pro-life, and I believe that one of the ways that we can reduce abortions in this country is actually doing what we have been doing for the last couple of years, which is providing full access to contraceptive services like Planned Parenthood does.
Folks, he's just wrong. He's trying to have this both ways. I want to tell you the truth about Planned Parenthood. I want to give you the facts. These are Planned Parenthood's own numbers. They see about 341,000 pregnant women walk through their clinic doors each and every year. 334,000 of those 341,000 end up with an abortion. Folks, they run a giant abortion mill. Fortunately, by the grace of God, a few of those pregnant women change their mind. They decide to carry that baby to term. But Congressman Stephen Lynch is wrong. Planned Parenthood does not provide comprehensive care. They provide abortions. That is what their business is. We actually have a call on the line calling in from the congressman's home state of Massachusetts. It's Chris on line four. Chris, I'd be interested in your thoughts on that soundbite and also anything else you might have to add. Chris, you're on the air.
Yeah, how you doing? Thanks for your time. I am 40 years old. I am an adopted child. My birthday is January 1st, 1973, which puts me 21 days previous to Roe versus Wade passing in our court system. So I have a strong feeling about abortion because I am gifted by the 15-year-old mother who couldn't provide a father for me that had the courage to trust God through the 9 months of humiliation, put me up for adoption. I have been raised by believing parents, and I've attended Bible school, and I am a born-again, spirit-filled believer who, God willing, will live and preach the gospel. So there was a purpose for my life, and the 15-year-old girl who gave birth to me in the very controversial time that there was in 1973, where she could have very easily saved herself the embarrassment, and I would not be here speaking to you today.
Chris, we certainly appreciate you telling your story, and I want to go quickly to David on this because certainly we talk a lot about the ramifications of abortion. We need to get into that more in the next segment of the broadcast. But, David, adoption has ramifications, has an impact. It gives life. It gives families a chance to have a child, and you know personally about that.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, my wife and I have adopted. Our youngest child is adopted, and she is such a tremendous blessing in our lives. And abortion, people don't realize how much it's a double tragedy because you not only end the life, you also end the possibility of, even if that was an unwanted child by the mother, you end the possibility of it becoming a wanted child through adoption. The adoption waiting list in this country is unbelievable. One of the reasons why people go overseas to adopt is because it is so difficult to adopt a baby in the United States. The demand is so much outweighs the actual number of children available for adoption. So abortion ends up being a double tragedy. And, you know, I think that as we confront this challenge, we need to realize that in the battle of ideas, we're winning. This tragedy is going to be replaced by hope and by life, and you're a part of that. We're going to be back with more stories, and we're going to be back and ask you to go to ACLJ.org and sign on to our committee to protect life and to oppose Obama's abortion pill mandate.
The release of Pastor Youssef Nardacani would not have happened without the tremendous coverage from the Christian media and from global news networks like Fox News. Media coverage kept the spotlight on Pastor Youssef, and while the ACLJ is grateful to the millions of people who stood with us in the fight to free Pastor Youssef, the ACLJ is also grateful for the news organizations that kept the focus on this story, including Fox News anchor Megyn Kelly, who interviewed ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow about the victory.
I want to thank you and Fox News for covering this because it gave it a global interest.
The American Center for Law and Justice is specifically dedicated to the ideal that religious freedom and freedom of speech are inalienable, God-given rights. And you stood up for those principles successfully here. Jay, good for you.
With Pastor Youssef now free, the ACLJ continues its work, now focusing on the persecution of other Christians whose rights, whose freedoms are being threatened. Learn more about the work of the ACLJ online, aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed 5 lawsuits directly challenging this flawed HHS mandate, and the ACLJ already has filed 15 amicus briefs backing other legal challenges. Another amicus brief is about to be filed in just a matter of days. Now you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Stan Bennett and David French with you, talking about life, hearing your stories about the impact of abortion and the blessing of adoption. Folks, we're going to get right back to your calls at 1-800-684-3110. And again, if you want to add your name to this brief going to the 10th Circuit Court, standing against the HHS mandate, you can call now 877-989-2255. Before we get to those phone lines, I want to give you a quick update on Pastor Saeed's situation. I know so many of you have engaged with us in our effort to free Pastor Saeed. And for those of you who haven't heard Jordan's update over the last couple of days, I wanted to make sure you knew that Pastor Saeed's family was recently able to tell him about SaveSaeed.org and about how all of you, so many of you, have signed that petition for his freedom. And specifically, they were able to tell him about all of these musicians, many of whom are his very personal favorites, who have joined this effort. By the way, our petition for Pastor Saeed is up to 257,140, just an amazing number. But his family reported that specifically telling him about these musicians who have engaged brought a smile to his face. They brought joy inside of Evin prison there in Iran. And folks, that is what this effort is all about. Those musicians have done what they can. They've made it personal. They've reached out in defense of Pastor Saeed. We at the ACLJ are doing what we can. Of course, we're working with Congress. We're working with 84 members that signed a letter to the State Department asking for Pastor Saeed's freedom. Of course, we're engaging the UN and the Human Rights Council as well. But we need you to do your part as well. If you have not signed up for that petition, go right now to SaveSaeed.org. It's SaveSaeed.org. Add your name, folks. That's an effort that's going to take all of us as well. But let's get right back to the phones. Let's go to Hallie calling from North Carolina on line 5. Hallie, you're on the air.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. I'll try not to be emotional, but I'm here to tell you that abortion for the past 33 years has greatly affected my life detrimentally, starting with anxiety attacks, deep depression, self-loathing, shame and guilt, and which led to a breast cancer diagnosis when I was 35 years old with my third baby. And abortion's not the answer. People are misinformed, and the truth needs to be told. This is not a procedure. This is a life, and it's true. When you end one life, it breaks the heart of another. And I'm going to do whatever I can to share my story with women to let them know that there's a better choice. Choose life. That my sister and I in Black Mountain, North Carolina, are starting an outreach program called Abby's Heart. And our heart is to help ladies that find themselves pregnant, that don't know where to turn. Planned Parenthood is not going to direct them to choose life. We want to be an outreach and a source of helping ladies to choose life. But if you've chose abortion, there is healing. There is forgiveness. As painful as it is, God does forgive us. And I know I'll see my babies again. But it's a choice that has forever affected my life. And I want my story to be told. And I want to do my part to help, whatever that is.
Hallie, I just want to say thank you for calling and telling your story. I know it takes courage, but you're absolutely right. You know, this is something that we have talked about a lot on this program, how abortion has a long-ranging impact. I mean, obviously, it takes the life of a baby with a beating heart and, you know, in many cases, legs and fingers and arms and toes, but it doesn't stop there. All of the evidence shows that women are deeply impacted by abortion as well, and it goes on for the rest of their lives. You know, we talk about the tragic deaths that have happened at the hands of Leroy Carhart, the abortionist. We actually hear stories from abortionists as well that one day come to realize the gravity of what they've done. But David, abortion has a real impact. We've We've got to tell those stories, the stories that Hallie just told. But we've also got to engage these fights. We've got to engage the fights in the legislatures and the courts. That's, of course, what we're asking folks to do by signing this petition in opposition to the HHS mandate. But, David, abortion has an impact, and, of course, so does the opposite choice. Adoption gives lives. It gives families a chance to have a child. But Hallie's stories are the ones that we've got to be telling.
That's exactly right. And, you know, the thing that is so infuriating about Planned Parenthood is they take kids who are young, scared, don't have a lot of information, don't know what to do. Then Planned Parenthood, without providing them with the information that they need, without giving them the full informed consent, takes the life of the child within them. And then it ends up so often casting these women into a lifetime of depression and darkness. And, you know, really the only hope and the only solution with that is, it just as Hallie said, is the love of Christ and the light of Christ in their life. And we're so thankful for that grace and forgiveness. But, you know, the audacity of Planned Parenthood, after it does that to so many young women, to then claim that they're somehow pro-women or they're somehow on the side of women is just astonishing. How many lives of women have they ended? How many lives of women have they cast into deep and lasting depression? It's simply staggering. And then our mainstream media lets them get away with it all the time. They put Planned Parenthood on such a pedestal that, believe it or not, we in the pro-life movement know what Planned Parenthood's all about. But in the general public, they think of Planned Parenthood as this kind of organization that just provides basic health care for women and mammograms and things like that, when it doesn't even do that. When it doesn't even do that, that's how great a con has been put upon the American people. And that's why it's so important that we hear stories like we just heard, so that people have information. When they have information, they choose life.
About information. Well, I'm going to go quickly back to the phone calls. Only a couple minutes left in this segment of the broadcast. Again, we're going to be here for another half hour to take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. But I want to go to Leanne calling from California on line one. Leanne, welcome to JSeculo Live.
Well, thank you for having me. I just wanted to share my story. I was 16 and had two unplanned pregnancies. One ended in abortion. The first one, actually, I had in place for adoption. Later in life, I was able to reunite with my daughter. She was 18 when we met. And because of my abortion, I had gone into just different behaviors that I was not raised in. I was raised Christian, but then I abandoned my faith and went on to be Buddhist and psychics and all the occultic things. But when I met my daughter, she was a Christian, and it was her who shared Christ with me. And I got saved because of her. And as a result, I decided to turn my life to Christ and do something with all the damage I had done in my life with my unplanned pregnancies. I felt that I could share my story with people, and now the Lord is using me in a crisis pregnancy clinic. I run two clinics, one in Hollywood and Glendale, California, and we're reaching out to women every day to help them choose life and perhaps even adoption. And also healing. We have post-abortion Bible studies that bring healing.
And because we're almost out of time in this segment of the broadcast, I want to tell you, your story it's the story that I'm talking about, folks. We all have a role in this. My wife and I talked about this last night. We have to engage where we are in our communities, telling our story, doing what we can moving forward to separate ourselves from our past and help those who have those challenges yet ahead of them. Listen, folks, we've got a way for you to do that right now, today. You can call now. You can join our opposition to the HHS mandate forcing the abortion pill to be dispensed through religious entities. You need to call now, 877-989-2255. You hear these stories. You have a role in fighting back. 877-989-2255. You can also sign up at aclj.org. But 877-989-2255. We'll be back with more of your calls.
Now. Now you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Jay Sekulow Live. It's David French and Than Bennett filling in for Jay. We have been having some unbelievable calls today so far. We've been talking about life. We've been talking about upholding the culture of life and opposing this abortion culture and the abortion legal regime that this administration is advancing. And the stories so far have been amazing. We just heard from a woman who gave a child up for adoption, and 18 years later, that child, she reunited with her child, and her child led her to Christ. Just an unbelievable story of God's providence, of God's grace, and how there is hope. And those kinds of stories need to be told loudly and clearly around this country, because women who are choosing abortion, many, many, many of them feel like there is no hope. They feel like they are at their wit's end, that they don't have any options. But there is always hope. And you never know what God can do with that life that is inside and that life that is longing to be born. And so, you know, these kinds of stories, I think, are the key to the pro-life movement, Than. They're absolutely key. Telling them far and wide is what's changing hearts and minds.
No question about it that they're key, David. You know, all of us have a role here at the ACLJ. You know, our job is to fight this issue on Capitol Hill and in the courts, and it's to keep all of our listeners and members informed and up to speed so that they can engage on these issues. But it's very much up to each one of our members to tell their stories, to engage in their communities. You know, we may have a role that seems more visible, but our listeners and our members have a role where they live, telling these stories, sharing the impact of abortion and the blessing of adoption. That's how we're all ultimately going to win this issue in the end. I want to hear another story. We're going to go back to the phones. Again, the phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go next to Melissa right here in D.C., calling on line 4. Melissa, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. I wanted to talk a little bit about the emotional effects that abortion has on women. But I think that the biggest effect is that I myself am a post-abortive woman. I was 17 years old. About 2 months after Roe v. Wade was passed, I had an abortion. I would have had a 40-year-old adult today, maybe been a grandmother. 13 years after that, I had an ectopic pregnancy. That was a direct effect of that abortion. But I have received forgiveness. I am thankful to the Lord my God and my Savior who has forgiven me. But the silence, we are made to feel as though we need to keep silent. And the longer we keep silent, the longer we go through the pain, we go through the grieving, we continue to grieve. 40 years later, you continue to grieve. And that pain and that you go through until you start to talk, until you start to share your story, until you start to tell other people that, no, this is not the way to go. There is another avenue. And the crisis pregnancy centers are wonderful what they do for these women. They give diapers. They give money. Some places they give places to stay. It's awesome what they do. But we
Thank you. thank you for telling your story. About a minute left in this segment. Only reason I'm cutting you off there. You're right. The emotional impact on a woman who has gone through an abortion, all of the evidence shows that it carries with you for the rest of your life. And I would also just give you two names, Kristen Gilbert and Jennifer Morbelli. Those are two young women who are no longer alive because they visited a clinic run by Leroy Carhart and did not survive the abortion procedure. I think that their families would want women to know the real impact of abortion, the real risks. They would want women to have the information they need to make an informed choice, to make the best choice for their lives. But folks, this takes all of us. You're hearing these stories today, but you have a role in this. You can engage this fight. The most recent issue is this HHS mandate that forces our religious entities into this industry. You've got to say no to that. You've got to join us. Push back at the 10th Circuit. Call now, 877-989-2255. Again, 877-989-2255. After this break, we're going to hear more of your stories, but call now, engage this fight, 877-989-2255.
The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed 5 lawsuits directly challenging this flawed HHS mandate, and the ACLJ already has filed 15 amicus briefs backing other legal challenges. Another amicus brief is about to be filed in just a matter of days. Now you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org.
10 years trying to sing these doubts away.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Than Bennett and David French filling in for Jay. We have been taking a number of amazing calls during this hour, and calls of stories of despair and depression, but also stories of hope and life, including one where a woman who had the courage to give up a child for adoption later was led to Christ by her daughter when they reunited 18 years later. Those are the kinds of stories that, and the kinds of events that only God can engineer, and God's providence is amazing. So we have a full bank of calls, and we're going to continue to take calls. But before we do, I just want to tell you that we're not just telling stories here. We're also taking action. We're taking action against an administration that has launched the most aggressive pro-abortion agenda of my lifetime. And already we've had almost 120,000 people sign on to our briefs. You can do that on aclj.org or at 877-989-2255. You can directly participate in the fight for life by signing on to our amicus briefs. We're filing one just in days in the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals. So we are taking the fight to the abortion industry, and we are directly in policy in the court of public opinion, in the court of law, trying hard to change this culture away from a culture of death to a culture of life. But it is so vitally important as part of that battle that we tell the stories that we have been telling. We're going to go to the phones right now. Some folks have been waiting for a long time. Rachel on line five. Rachel, you are on the air.
Hi, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to call and share my story today because it's still very tender, but I had an abortion over 20 years ago, and at the time, my boyfriend was just absolutely, you're going to do this, and I just was weak and thought that it was just cells, you know. It's like, well, it's just cells, and then after the procedure was done, the man who did the procedure on me said to me, oh, you would have had a little boy. And that has haunted me for my life. I wish that I would have chosen life for my little boy. I'm so thankful that he's in heaven today, and I'm going to get to meet him. But if there's just one woman out there that could just know, I'm sorry.
It's all right, Rachel.
Life, it's a human being, and the pain that you will go through. If you have an abortion, you don't just forget about it. You don't just take care of the problem. You will never forget. It will stick with you for the rest of your life. So right. I wanted to share that today. If there's any woman out there listening, thinking about making that decision, don't do it, or have an ultrasound so that you can see it's got a heartbeat. They can tell the sex of the baby, you know, even if you're only, you know, 8 or 9 weeks. You know, I just wanted to share that today.
Well, thank you so much, Rachel. And I also hope that there are people listening right now. There are, right at this moment, there are people across this country listening to this radio, and this radio broadcast, and we don't know what they are doing in their lives and what state their lives are in. And that's what's so important about having times like this we've had on this broadcast, where we are talking with and about folks who have made all kinds of different choices, both aborted and who chose life, and they understand that the abortion decision has terrible consequences. But as we also know, there's grace and forgiveness in Jesus Christ, as many of the callers have discussed. And, you know, it is infuriating to me, Than. I've said this before, but I keep saying it. It is infuriating to me that our culture has placed on the highest possible pedestal, has even called them heroes, the people who run this abortion industry, who take young women like Rachel was when 20 years ago and do this procedure under false pretenses without giving them information. And then Rachel lives with the consequences of that for 20 years. And our president loves this abortion industry so much, that in budget negotiations over a year ago, he was even willing to shut down the federal government to protect funding for Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's how radical this administration is.
It's just inexcusable, David. I mean, he was willing to let his flagship piece of legislation, Obamacare, go down if he could not get abortion as one of the central pillars of it. That was how important it was to him. But I would say this to Rachel, you know, the stories that she was telling, that is the key here. And one of the things that we are doing to try to help you tell that story is try to educate you on where the pro-life movement began, where it has come over the last 25 years, you know, really where it has come over the last 40 years. We've put together a DVD. It's called Choosing Life, and it really documents the pro-life movement. It will equip you. It will inform you about where we've been, where we've come. It will help you have those conversations with friends and family that can change hearts and minds. You're going to see Jay, when he was a little bit younger, engaging these fights, litigating in court, working with the street counselors. So if you call now and you add your name to our petition against this HHS mandate, you can find out how to get a copy of Choosing Life as well. To add your name to that brief, to find out about Choosing Life, you can call 877-989-2255. I want to go right back to the phones. Let's go to Debbie on line three, calling from Illinois. Debbie, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call. I listen to you guys every single day. I pray for everybody that calls in. I have a question. Why President Obama cannot be held for, he's so for abortion that, a month ago, a woman here in Illinois was pregnant. She was 16 weeks pregnant, and she was in an automobile accident by a drunk driver, and he was charged with murder, two counts, for the baby. So if he got charged two counts for killing that baby, then why isn't it abortion murder?
And, yeah, well, many – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Debbie.
40 years ago, I got pregnant. I was 17. My parents had to sign. They took me unwillingly to another city, had to sign for me to have an abortion. And for 2 years, I did nothing but got into depression, got into drugs, got completely out of my mind. And they give you this abortion. They put you in a room. They give you crackers. They give you juice. And on your way, you go. And it was just appalling to me. And I've been married, and yesterday was the first time I shared this with my husband, that I had an abortion, because
wow,
it tore me up inside. And
yeah, thank you, Debbie, for telling your story. Let me just make a couple of comments. First of all, a lot of states do have laws on the books where you can be prosecuted for two murders if you take the life of an unborn child. And, of course, Leroy Carhart, who frequently takes babies in utero that are at the same level of gestation, he doesn't get charged for that. And then not only that, when Kristen Gilbert and Jennifer Morbelli die at his hands, he's not charged with a crime there either. And, David, I can't imagine if you had another doctor, another physician, performing an elective non-life-saving procedure, because that's really what elective abortion is, who ended up with two dead patients, the outcry would be deafening. But because Leroy Carhart, that happens when he's performing an abortion, nobody seems to notice.
That's exactly right. It goes back to that double standard. I mean, there are many people who still view this person who has not just the blood of all of the unborn children that he's killed on his hands, but the blood of at least two women that died on his operating table on his hands. And in many circles, he's still a hero. It's absolutely stunning. And, you know, going back to this point about some of the laws regarding when you can be prosecuted for two murders, when you killed a pregnant woman and the child, one of the first rules you have to understand about abortion law is that abortion law makes no sense. It was created out of whole cloth, made up in Roe v. Wade, made up out of nothing. And so when you're talking about abortion law, it makes no sense. And then we've long talked in the pro-life movement about something called an abortion exception. And that is that abortion has been so legally protected by the courts and by legislatures for so long that it's beginning to distort other areas of law. For a long time, it seemed as if pro-life advocates have fewer free speech rights than any other kind of advocate in our country. Thanks to the work of the ACLJ over decades, we've begun to get rid of those crippling burdens placed on pro-life speech. But that's how much our mainstream secular culture has worshipped this abortion right, is to even distort our Constitution, distort our laws, to not just protect the right of abortion itself, but to also protect the right of abortion from criticism. But you know what? We fight back every single day. Every single day we fight back on this, and you can fight back with us. If you go to 1-877-989-2255, you can join our briefs against the abortion pill mandate. You can go to ACLJ.org, join our petition, our committee against the abortion pill mandate, and that committee will actually be on our briefs filed in the 10th Circuit, and that committee will be on briefs filed in the future. We're going to be fighting this all the way to the Supreme Court of the United States of America, because we're not relenting, we're not giving up, we haven't in 25 years of our organization's existence, and we won't for the next 25 years, but hopefully Roe v. Wade will be repealed by then. But these kinds of stories we've been hearing, they're what give us the motivation to do what we do. And we would ask you to respond to these stories by calling 1-877-989-2255 or to go to ACLJ.org, sign on to our committee, directly participate in the fight for life by joining our briefs.
At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to know that the American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekula.
We are very grateful. I want to say this, a huge thank you to our friends and members from literally from coast to coast. Because of the generosity of our members, we've added new lawyers. We're handling international affairs as high as even the United Nations. A lot of issues going on, a lot of great things happening, and a huge thank you to our friends and members around the country.
With an exceptional track record of success, the American Center for Law and Justice is on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. There's no better place to get the facts, the truth, about the issues that matter most to you and your family than at the ACLJ website. Learn more about our work and our defense of freedom online at aclj.org. The American Center for Law and Justice is at the forefront of a significant legal challenge. The Department of Health and Human Services is mandating that employers provide coverage for abortion-producing drugs in their insurance policies for employees, even if the mandate violates their religious beliefs. The ACLJ has filed 5 lawsuits directly challenging this flawed HHS mandate, and the ACLJ already has filed 15 amicus briefs backing other legal challenges. Another amicus brief is about to be filed in just a matter of days. Now, you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to JSEC Live. One life. We fight for every life here at the ACLJ. We're hearing your stories today on the broadcast. We're going to get to as many of your phone calls in this last segment of the broadcast as we can. I see Michael, Manny, Jennifer, Brett, and Linda lined up. We're going to get to you as quickly as we can. Let's start with Manny. He's been holding for a very long time from California on line 6. Michael from California on line 6. Michael, you're on the air.
I just signed your petition, by the way, online, so I support you guys 100%.
Thank you, sir.
But I wanted to say, and I'll try not to get emotional hearing everybody, all the women speak here, because now I know. Sorry about that.
It's okay, Michael. Take your time. Let me just jump in here, give Michael a second to collect his thoughts. Folks, what you're hearing in Michael's voice is what we hear every day on the broadcast when we talk about these issues. Abortion has an impact on everybody involved. It has an impact on the mother, obviously the child. We heard a story about the abortionist earlier this week who had a change of heart down the road, realized the magnitude of what he had done. And now what you're hearing in Michael's voice is the impact that it has on a father. And certainly as a father myself, I can relate to that. So, Michael, if you are able to, we'd love to hear your story.
All right. My wife, before we met, she was, I believe, 17, and she was dating a gentleman who, well, I can't even call him a gentleman, but he forced himself on her, and she ended up getting pregnant. She was raised in a Christian home, and they made this tough decision to have the abortion. And she lived with the pain for years, I guess. And when they were at a church convention, and I guess she was praying for forgiveness for quite a while. And one of the pastors came up to her from another church and just told her, hey, you know, God forgives you. He wanted me to tell you to forgive yourself because He forgives you and He loves you.
Michael, I appreciate you taking having the courage and being able to tell your story. It's important that you're able to do it for exactly the reason that you just said. Yes, there is grace and forgiveness on the other side of it, but even more than that, Michael, your story, your wife's story, it makes a difference going forward. You don't want to dwell in the past. You have an ability to change hearts and minds, to prevent this from happening more in the future. This is how we change the culture. This is how we move towards a culture of life, by telling your story, by telling what you've experienced from the past. Listen, we all have mistakes in our past. Those of us who use those mistakes to help others from following in our footsteps, that's where real redemption happens. Let's go ahead and let's go to Linda calling from Texas on line 1. Linda, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to tell you a story about not having an abortion. I became pregnant when I was 20, a 20-year-old college student, and left everything I knew to follow my fiancé, and I got married. I followed him to a large city where we went through 8 years of poverty and training in medical school, and I gave birth to a beautiful baby boy at the beginning of our marriage. And I just wanted to tell you that through the difficulty of the struggle through school, and then later wealth, and then raising children. God was sufficient, and he helped me forgive myself for becoming pregnant, because as a Christian, I'd committed to abstinence. That son witnessed to a young friend of his when he was 17, who is now planting churches all over the panhandle of Texas. And every time he gives his testimony about my son leading him to Christ, other people are saved. My son died at the age of 29 with a malignant brain tumor. And but during that time of his illness, he had the faith and commitment to believe, and he gave. He and his wife had a baby daughter, who's turning 18 years old today. And I just want people to know that, hard as it was, that child was a joy to me every day of my life. He has saved, because of his testimony and his faith, has brought many people to Christ, and will continue to do that. And when he died at the age of 29, almost 800 people attended his funeral, and that was his legacy. And I just wanted to share that and tell you that through the pregnancy, through poverty, through wealth, through illness, through death, God has been sufficient in every way.
Linda, I want to thank you for telling your story, and it's stories like yours. When I hear the soundbite of the president saying he doesn't want his daughters punished with the baby, then I hear stories like yours of redemption, of it wasn't punishment, it was a beautiful blessing in your life that you carried that child to term. And folks, listen, the other part of that equation is adoption. When a child is carried to term and a parent is not able to keep it, that baby still provides the blessing of a family to another family who is looking to adopt. You heard that story from David French, senior counsel here at the ACLJ, in an earlier segment of the broadcast. It's not punished with a baby, it's blessed with a baby. Let's try to get to these other calls. Let's go to Brett calling from Pennsylvania on line 2. Brett, you're on the air.
Hey, guys, I'd just like to say I've got a story from the other end. My cousins were not able to have children, and they had tried for a long time to. They finally were able to adopt from a mother who was 18. Unfortunately, the mother got pregnant again, but she has asked that they potentially take the child as their second child, where this beautiful baby boy could have been aborted. He's now just turned 1 year old, and is one of the most precious, beautiful things you've ever seen. And for me and my wife, we lost our second child to a miscarriage. So the idea of loss isn't just through abortion. It happens through any way where a life is taken when you least expect it.
Yeah, Brett's correct. And so many times when a mother, an expectant mother, realizes that there is another option out there, that there's the option to choose adoption, they will choose that course of action. Of course, this administration doesn't want that to happen, because the abortion industry is a big business for them. It is a political business for them. And that is why they so often oppose those options. I'm going to quickly try to go to Jennifer calling from New Jersey on line 4. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Yes, hi. I just have a couple of quick questions, and my heart goes out to everybody that's called in. We go after the cigarette industry, that they don't, you know, go to children, and now you have to show ID and you have to be 18. But a child can go and get an abortion, and the parent doesn't even know, and that's a surgery. That's like a major thing. Also, they're forcing hospitals, like good Catholic doctors, good hospitals, to close down because they're forcing their political view on something they don't believe in. And I thought we had this separation of church and state. They don't want to say under God in the pledge, but yet they're forcing hospitals and doctors to do things they don't believe in. And I was at work, and a woman that I work with asked me, and I don't know if it's true, but she is she's a very strong Catholic, very, you know, believes in pro-life. She said, "Did you hear what Obama did now?" And I said, "No, I didn't." And she said he has pushed the abortion issue so far that I guess there was a part of the law that said that if the child came out alive, the doctors could help the child. But Obama has...
Yeah, Jennifer, I'm only cutting you off because we're running out of time. You're talking about the Born Alive Infant Protection Act, something that preserves the child's right to life once he's outside the room. That is something that President Obama opposed. Folks, we're fighting these issues across the board. We need your support. Call now. Add your name to this brief going to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, 877 877- 989-2255. I want to thank everyone for telling their stories today. That's what it takes for us to win on this issue, folks. It is a matter of life and death, and all of us have a role to play in it. Call now. Stand with the ACLJ at the 10th Circuit, 877-989-2255 or ACLJ.org.
Now you can stand with the ACLJ opposing this troubling mandate in court, a mandate that not only violates the free exercise of religion, it also violates the conscience rights of millions of Americans. Join the legal fight right now. Sign on to our committee opposing the mandate, a committee that will be included in our future amicus briefs challenging the mandate in court. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or add your name online, aclj.org.